1 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll be at this morning. So however you engage with Scripture, please find 1 Peter chapter 1. All of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion live our lives by some sort of pattern. We all have morning patterns, afternoon patterns, lunch patterns, evening patterns. Even our retirees among us have some sort of daily pattern. It may be nothing, but it's a pattern of nothingness that you repeat each and every single day. But a question that must exist in the midst of all of our patterns that we go through day in and day out is, what type of person am I becoming because I am in this pattern of life? Because of the routine of day in and day out, morning, afternoon, evening, morning, afternoon, evening, what type of person am I becoming because I have consistently committed to these patterns and these routines of day in and day out? And this reminded me of summer camp. This past year, I once again attempted to make one of these little friendship bracelets. And I got started and it stunk really bad. Memphis laughed at me and made fun of me for a really, really long time. But my girls ended up finally finishing what I started. And Memphis, in her kindness and compassion and probably just a little bit of sadness for me, made me a friendship bracelet that's awesome. But within this bracelet, like if you've ever tried to make one, how many of you have ever tried to make a friendship bracelet before and you actually succeeded? Parker, your hand went down quick. That was funny. They're all about patterns. They're all about consistent repeating. This thread goes here and then you do this and then you do the loop-de-loop. I get lost after step one. It goes here and then I'm like, where does this string go? And then I try to make a hole and it's just bad. I kept it. Allie finished it for me, and then I have others in my Bible that Lily and Allie have both made. And if you look at it, besides one of Allie's hairs, because it ain't my hair, you can tell where I started and where she picked up and made it look nice. but it just reminded me of patterns. My grandmother's quilting is all about patterns. In some way, shape, form, or fashion. I wanted to bring this morning because, I mean, quilts are like patterns. Carmen is this expert in knitting, right? Needlework. I mean, she's an expert in needlework. Some of you know what you're doing with quilting. And needlework or patterns or whatever it may be, quilting, it's all about consistency and there's pattern that's built into it. So with that all in mind, with this recurring word about consistency and patterns and doing things over and over again, and what type of person am I becoming because I am consistently patterned myself in a certain way, I was also reminded of something that I have up in my office that I look at each and every single week when I'm putting together my manuscript for the weekly teaching. The sermon does not tell the congregation what to think or what to do. It's not my job to tell you what to do. It's not my job to tell you how to think or what to think. But instead, the sermon offers space. It offers and it opens space for new thinking, for a new reimagination where the Spirit of God can come in and shape and work and form and maybe reform. So as we read together this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, as we are being formed together out of 1 Peter, pay attention to what the Word of God, according to Peter, is inviting you to give your attention to, your attitude towards, and what and maybe even how can you practically apply today, tomorrow, and later on this week according to the word of 1 Peter. Ron McKinney, I'm going to invite you to come on up. Ron is going to do our reading for us this morning. But as Ron is making his way up, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we invite you to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts to how you are inviting us to live a holy, consecrated life in a compromised and conflicted culture. God, what word of information, inspiration, formation, or revelation do I need from your word right now? We ask that you would provide as you promised you would provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get you a mic. I'm going to move you away from where Don was because it popped right there. Okay. So how about you stand over here beside my grandmother quilt? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13.
Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you.
Thank you, sir. It completely shut off. Brent, would you mind taking this for me, please? We need to probably put batteries in it for the song after the teaching. It's not even turning on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I don't often do this during the teaching time. I pretty much stick to one particular translation of Scripture. But there are other translations of Scripture that do 1 Peter 1:13 in a very creative and very imaginative way. Some of us remember hearing, whether it was the King James Version or the New King James Version, verse 13 about kind of like picking up the gird of your loins, if you will. I think the translation is... I meant to write it down and didn't do it. But this idea of preparing yourself to pick up the gird of your loins, which is just a way of saying for first century folks that they had these long robes that they wore. And in order to get prepared for some type of athletic event or some type of running, they would pick up the gird, if you will, so they could be able to move and to run and to flow, if you will. That's verse 13 here. But another way of reading it, another way of hearing verse 13, according to the NRSV, is therefore prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. There is something to this being in order to behave in a God-honoring manner, believers first must be thinking in a God-honoring manner. In other ways, holy behavior follows holy thinking, which is challenging to us at times. Holy behavior follows holy thinking. What we put into our minds on a daily basis matters. No matter what it is that we're putting into our ears, it matters. Now, the word here, minds, literally is bowels. So it's talking about the core. It's talking about the gut of who we are. So therefore, with your gut that is alert and fully sober. So you are preparing yourself for the day in a manner where you are ready to tackle whatever comes your way in the name of Jesus. You have prepared yourself, or you are still in process of patterning your life in such a way that you are consistently and constantly prepping yourself to be ready for whatever the day may hold you. In your mind, in your heart, in the core, in your gut of who you are, you discipline yourselves day in and day out in the name of Jesus to be ready. Holy behavior follows holy thinking. And how is that accomplished? Two things: preparation and discipline. It's not going to come easy. And for many of us, it's definitely not going to come natural. But by daily preparing ourselves, by daily disciplining ourselves, we are ready to go out and face the day in the name of Jesus. And how is that accomplished? Well, you have a game plan. You think about the day that happened before, and you process what this day could possibly hand you. And you have a game plan for how you are going to go about your day. And then you follow through with that. If you know that you have a coworker that you got beef with, you got bad blood. Yes, I just referenced Taylor Swift. If you've got bad blood with a coworker or somebody at school, how do you prepare to face that meeting, that conversation, whatever it may be? What type of game plan do you have to face that person or that awkward situation in the name of Jesus? Besides feeding yourself negativity over and over and over again, how do you game plan yourself to go and be a loving presence, Jesus-type person to this individual or to the situation that you may find yourself? Holy behavior follows holy thinking. You have preparation, you have discipline, you have a game plan, and you have follow through. You plan, you think through, you adjust when necessary, and you actually do what you planned to do. Plan, adjust, follow through. Plan, adjust, follow through. Each and every single day. Also, what you and I feed ourselves, we are eventually becoming. Which is really, really important thing. And it's been said for decades upon decades upon decades, but we don't seem to be getting any better at it because we seem to keep on feeding ourselves stuff of the world that doesn't make us any different from the world. We're in this consistent pattern of feeding ourselves stuff that makes us more and more like the world instead of being set apart and different from the world. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, but his kingdom is definitely in this world. And as people committed to the lordship of Jesus, we are a part of his rule and his reign. Holy behavior follows holy thinking. If you feed your mind fear, you will eventually become what? Fearful. You feed your mind self-righteous know-it-allness, you will eventually become a self-imposed lack of humility know-it-all that people love talking to, by the way. If you feed yourself anger, you feed yourself resentment, you feed yourself lust, these patterns will continually shape you and they will become you. Holy behavior follows holy thinking. Peter believes there is a better way for Jesus' folk to live. This powerful word, hope. Peter says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is apocalypsed at his coming. So this hope that Peter is constantly shining a spotlight on has to do with the return of King Jesus. And Peter says, a part of patterning yourself as somebody who is committed to King Jesus is to set your hope on his return. Set your hope on his second coming. Set your hope that there is more to this life than just what you are currently experiencing. There is something, and there is especially someone better returning. Set your hope on his return. But hope is a powerful word. Hope in the New Testament is not an abstract feeling of optimism, but a confident expectation of a good outcome based on God's goodness. So a pattern that I have put myself in, praying publicly or praying privately, is I begin my prayer with, God, you are good, and you are good to us. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what day I've had, no matter if Tennessee lands 5-star after 5-star after 5-star and takes 5 stars from Ohio State, which they did, by the way, and it brings a smile to my face, then I begin thinking how I'm going to rub this into Doug and Dick and everybody else. And then I think, I don't know if that would be such a good idea. So I let it go. Or I'm having a terrible day where something bad happens. I fall into a sin. I fall into a trap. I fall into temptation. Something happens where I could have been a better husband to Carrie than I was. I could have been a better father to the girls or to Dylan than I was. God, you are good. And you are good to me. Come what may, you are good. Hope is faith standing on its tiptoes. There is this invitation to spiritual alertness that Peter is reminding all Christians of. In all that you feed your mind with and on, be proactive in asserting discipline to what you expose yourself to. Paul says something very similar in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. That word sober here in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Peter, it's controlled. This idea of being sober is being self-controlled. When you are drunk or when you are high, you have little to no self-control over your words, over your behavior, over your actions. So the idea here, the direction of holy behavior following holy thinking for Peter is that be sober, be self-controlled, because then you have control over your mind, you have control over your tongue, and you have control over your actions. Let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and let us be sober. Let us be a people who are self-controlled in every area of life. On our social media, in our conversations about things that are a little bit beyond us, American politics, in our conversations about whatever we get ourselves involved with. Let us be sober, self-controlled people. And then in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, isn't it a beautiful, isn't it a poetic statement? There are others who aren't awake. They ain't woke either. They're definitely asleep. They're blinded to the light. But followers of Jesus are not blinded. Followers of Jesus are not asleep. We don't walk around in the dark. Why? Because we belong to the day. Let us again be self-controlled. Let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Again, Galatians 5 type of language here from Paul. But people who belong to the day, we put on faith, we put on love, and we put on hope as we go through. That's how we are patterning our lives. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. When you wake up in the morning, Lord Jesus, how can I go about being a person of faith, hope, and love throughout the day? As you go to bed, Lord Jesus, where in my day was I a person who put on faith, hope, and love? And if I failed in this area, God, give me the strength to wake up in the morning and to try again. Because I want to be a person of faith, hope, and love. Holy behavior follows holy thinking. So continuing on in verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. July's memory verse, right? We should still all have it somewhere sunk deep down into our minds and our hearts. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Like obedient children who trust in their father's voice, who trust in their mother's voice, like obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had before your eyes were opened to the truth and beauty and goodness of life. Don't live like you once did in ignorance. But instead, because you are a person that belongs to the day, you don't walk in darkness, but you walk in light. Do not conform the patterns of your life to that which is evil. There are good desires in this world. There are good things that God has placed in this world. Desire is one of them. And how we navigate, how we pattern our desires very much matters in life. At the same time, there are evil desires. And we become how we pattern our lives according to those evil desires. Two important questions. What pulls you away from loving God? What patterns in life am I consistently conforming to that are pulling me away from loving God? And what patterns of life have I consistently done that is pulling me away from loving my neighbor as myself? Holiness is an invitation. Holiness is also a command here. Peter isn't kind of like just haphazardly saying something here. Be holy because I am holy. Holiness is an invitation, but holiness is also a command to devotion. Holiness is a command to devotion, to being set apart for a mission, for a way of life that is devoted to the rule and the reign of God. What Jesus refers to as the way. God is holy. His essence is holiness. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, completely and fully devoted to one another. When you read the Gospel of John, you see how they are just this unique, powerful way in which John scripts how God is committed to one another. Jesus is committed to the Father. The Spirit is committed to the Father. The Spirit is committed to the Son. The Son is committed to the Spirit. There is this devotion between the Trinity that is powerful and that is beautiful. God is holy. Our invitation is to be set apart and devoted to God. But we need help. We need help. Our sin, our flesh, our evil desires get in the way. That's why we will always need the grace of God through the blood of Jesus and the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Verse 17 through 21. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Reminds me of "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through" type of hymn that we often sing. There's a little bit of truth in that. We were created of the earth, for the earth. But the current state of things is not what this world was created for. So as foreigners here, we live out our time in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God and are raised from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in God. Three things that I want to invite us to pay attention to as we draw this teaching to a close and as we are sent out into the world. The first one is this. How do you and I prepare our minds for each day that we face? What type of consistent pattern do you have yourself on where you are in preparation for the day ahead? Peter points towards something that, according to him, is life-forming, that is life-changing. Set your attention towards the forming, life-changing reality that Jesus is coming back. Set your attention to the King Jesus' return. My faith journey recalls this hymn as well. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, what? Those of you that know the song, all fear is gone. Powerful lines. Set your hope, set your attention on King Jesus' return. The second one is this. Investigate your attitude, which may be difficult for some of us because some of us are afraid of our attitudes. Pay attention to your attitude. Investigate your attitude on what is forming you and how you are being formed. How do you prepare your minds for the day? Investigate your attitude. Arise team, y'all can join me up here, please. I hope you go home today and give 1 Peter 1:13 through 21. We're going to pick up in verse 22 next week. A little bit more time to read over and pay attention to. Read this out loud. Read this quietly. But read this. Because there are application points in each and every single statement that Ron read for us and that we looked at today. How are you retraining your minds? How are you pursuing self-control? How are you surrendering to self-control? Your identity. Peter says, be holy, because he who called you is holy. So a part of your Christian identity, a part of your Christian formation, is you are holy. You are set apart for God's good work and God's good mission. Surrendering to who you are by God's definition. Humility, proper fear, and the assurance in the impartial judgment of the one who has the authority to judge. You and I were delivered from an empty way of life. We are people who belong to the day. Jesus says this in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Holy behavior follows holy thinking. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you live. If you live your life by believing in me, you will never die, even though you may pass from this earth. You will never die. Do you believe this? Stand with me, please. Within the pattern of being and becoming, we are a people who prepare. We investigate and we dissect to make space for the Holy Spirit to keep working, and to keep forming us into a holy, devoted person who is committed to the rule and reign of King Jesus until He comes. Amen, church? Let's pray together, and then after we pray, we're going to be led in worship. After our time in worship, if there's anybody who would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come down here and see me. If you would like to pray with one of our lady prayer warriors or one of our shepherds, they will be out by our prayer room. But let's pray. God, thank you for the words of 1 Peter. Thank you for the direction with which these words and these statements draw us into a deeper, committed relationship with you. God, help us to pay attention to how we pattern our lives. May we be a people, may we be a part of a family that is committed to consistently patterning our lives after Lord Jesus. Jesus, help us to live in light of your footsteps. Help us to let you lead our lives. Help us to not get in front of you, but to let you lead. God, help us to believe that we are holy. You are holy, Lord, and you have called us to follow in that. So help us to pattern our lives in a way so that we are holy. Father, thank you for the words of 1 Peter. Thank you that you are a God who judges impartially. Help us to trust in that. Help us to trust in your grace and your forgiveness. Help us to set our hope on the return of King Jesus. Until that day comes, may we be a people committed to living devoted, holy, consistent, patterned lives to you. We can't do this without you, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and give thanks. Amen. Let's worship.